Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the gospel reading for today, the account of John the Baptist asking Jesus from jail, "Are you the one, or should we be looking for another?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, so as I was explaining at the beginning of the service, this particular Sunday, the theme of our day today is joy, and you have already heard joy referred to multiple times in the service this morning. The reading from Zephaniah is about rejoicing. The reading from Philippians 4 is about rejoicing. The hymn mentioned rejoicing. This whole season, really, is supposed to be about joy and rejoicing and being glad. So we have the Christmas hymn, "Joy to the World," that we're going to be singing here in a couple of weeks. We have secular Christmas songs that talk a lot about joy at this time of year. This is a season that, according to the song, is supposed to be merry and bright. And this is a season that, according to the song, is the most wonderful time of the year and the happiest season of all. So we have built up for ourselves some fairly high expectations with regard to the celebration of Christmas. High expectations in that Christmas is supposed to be happy and joyful and calm and bright and good and fun and family and friends and food and the whole thing, the whole package. We have very high expectations. Very high expectations. C.S. Lewis once talked about how we experience life depends on our expectations. So are you doing well in life? Are you struggling? Are you happy? Are you sad? Well, this depends, C.S. Lewis said, largely on your expectations of life. If you have high expectations as to how things should be going in this world, it is very possible, even likely, that you'll be disappointed because this world doesn't meet those expectations. On the other hand, if you have more realistic expectations or even low expectations, then when things turn out better than you thought, you feel satisfied and thankful. How we experience life depends largely on our expectations. He gave an example which I will paraphrase and modernize, but if they take you into a building and you are blindfolded in the building and you're in the hallway and they say to you, "Okay, we are going to bring you into the room that you're going to be staying in for the weekend." You're blindfolded. And then they say, "You are standing in the hallway of the Plaza Hotel, Central Park, New York City. The Plaza Hotel that Kevin McAllister stayed in, Home Alone 2. Now, having heard this news, blindfold is still on. They take you into the room. What are your expectations at that point? You're thinking, "This is going to be fabulous. This is going to be luxurious. This is going to be the nicest room I've ever stayed in." Very high expectations. So they take the cloth off of your eyes and you look and you're standing in a basic Holiday Inn Express motel room. And there's a queen bed and there's a TV and there's a bathroom and there's some questionable stains on the carpet, and you're so disappointed. Your high expectations were not even close to being met. And now you're in this hotel room and you're just very sad and disgusted. Okay, Now back up. Same experiment. We're going to do it again. Put the blindfold on. You're in the hallway. This time they tell you, we are taking you to the room that you're going to be staying in for the weekend. This room is a prison cell. It's a prison cell. You're staying in a prison cell for the weekend. Okay, so now what are your expectations? You're thinking cement floor, toilet in the corner, bunk bed, and a guy named Tank is sleeping on the top bunk. And expectations very low. And you're not looking forward to this at all. They take you into the room. They remove the blindfold. You're in that same Holiday Inn motel room. Same queen-size bed, same TV, same bathroom. But this time, you have a whole different attitude about this room. You were expecting a prison cell. Now you've got a motel room, and you're excited, and you're thrilled, and you're thankful, and you're happy to stay here for the weekend. No problem at all. The experience of life depends largely on your expectations. You enter into something with high expectations. It is very possible that you'll be disappointed. You go in with reasonable expectations. You end up being thankful and glad. C.S. Lewis said this in one of his books. He said, if you think of this world as a place intended simply for our happiness, you find it quite intolerable. If you think of this world as a place intended simply for our happiness, you find it quite intolerable. And in fact, many of us do look at the world that way. The world exists to make me happy. We think this because our culture keeps pushing this on us, and after a while we begin to believe it. This world exists to make me happy, and every part of this world exists for our happiness. So my marriage is intended simply for my happiness. My job is intended simply for my happiness. My family is intended simply for my happiness. My church is intended simply for my happiness. And as we take this approach to life and we apply these high expectations on one another, what happens? We come away disappointed. This world does not meet these expectations as we would like. In fact, it cannot meet them as we would like. We think of Christmas this way. If you think of Christmas as intended simply for our happiness, you find it quite intolerable. It can't meet these high expectations. John the Baptist had high expectations. You heard him last week in Luke chapter 3 preaching these high expectations with regard to the Savior, the Messiah, that was just about to arrive. And John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness, and he's telling the people to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And John the Baptist is saying that when this Messiah comes, there's going to be some serious judgment going on. Sweeping judgment among the nations of the world when the Messiah arrives. Those who are unfaithful, those who are unbelieving, those who are sinful, they're going to be swept away in a very glorious, powerful manner, and then the faithful ones will be left. This is the view. These are the high expectations that John the Baptist held. Last week you heard him say, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This is what John the Baptist is expecting. And then Jesus comes and he begins his ministry. And there's no judgment happening. There's no fire. There's no axe. There are no trees being cut down. Jesus, instead, he's healing people. And he's forgiving their sins. And he's preaching good news. And he's telling people to love one another. And he's sitting down and eating with tax collectors and sinners. And John the Baptist, with his high expectations, he's looking at this ministry of Jesus and he's saying, he's disappointed. This is not what I was expecting. This is not what I was looking for. And so, as you heard in today's gospel reading, from jail, John the Baptist sends messengers to Jesus, and he asks the question, are you the one, or should we be looking for another? Now, through this whole experience of John the Baptist, we can learn at least two things. At least two things. First of all, when the world does not meet your high expectations, what do? You do what John the Baptist did. Go to Jesus with your question, with your concern. You thought marriage was going to be so wonderful. It's really hard. Go to Jesus. You thought your new job was going to be perfect. In fact, it's a huge challenge. It's not what you thought it was going to be. Go to Jesus with that concern. When this world does not meet its high expectations, bring your concern and your question to Jesus. And the second thing that we learn from John the Baptist is the nature of the mission that Jesus came to accomplish. The Jesus of the final judgment must first be the Jesus of the manger. The Jesus of the final judgment must first be the Jesus of the cross. The Jesus of the final judgment must first be the Jesus of the empty tomb. There is a mission here that must be carried out by Jesus. There is resurrection and forgiveness and life and hope in Him. That judgment that was coming, that John the Baptist was looking forward to, Jesus went to the cross and took that judgment on Himself in our place for our sins as our substitute, so that in Him, by faith in Him, we receive not what we deserve, thanks be to God, we receive new life and forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life in heaven. So, C.S. Lewis, if you think of this world as a place intended simply for our happiness, you find it quite intolerable. But then he went on to say, think of it as a place of training and correction, and it's not so bad. So while we're in this world, we belong to Christ, we are headed for heaven, we're not to heaven yet, there is this in-between time. What is the purpose, what is the meaning of this life that God has given us in this world? Is it for us to be happy at every turn? No. The purpose, the meaning, the plan for this temporary time in between this life and the next is that we would grow in Christ, that we would grow as Christians, that our faith would be made strong, and that we would become God's instruments by which the good news of Jesus can be lived out and applied to the world around us. The Scriptures speak of this life in this way when they say, for example, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. In other words, the goal of this life is that you would grow stronger and stronger in your Christian life and faith and mission, that you become equipped for every good work through the constant discipline and training of the Word of God. We have very contrasting worldviews here, where the world around us says the purpose of life is for me to be happy every day in something. And the world around us is then very disappointed when it doesn't happen, very angry when it doesn't happen. Whereas you and I have a different worldview, a scriptural worldview, says that as we belong to Christ, we are being trained up, we are being disciplined, we are being set apart for His purposes in this world, equipped for every good work. And happiness may come from that, but happiness is not the primary goal. Another scripture reading says, 1 Corinthians 9 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified." There again, this world is a place of training and correction, discipline in God's Word. As we come repeatedly, daily, to God and hear from His Word of the forgiveness of our sins and the calling and the blessing of the Holy Spirit to go and live as one who is equipped for every good work by which God can serve your neighbor through you and through the gifts that He has given you. So we have then the promise. We have high expectations of what is yet to come. We look forward to the day when we are called home to heaven, where all will be made right and perfect, and there will be no more suffering or crying or illness or anything else like that. We look forward to that. We yearn for that. We long for that. We can't find that kind of satisfaction and happiness in this world, but we still long for it. We still have those high expectations. C.S. Lewis said this about that. He said, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." So we have the high expectations. We long for perfect justice and mercy and love and forgiveness and joy. We long for that, but we can't find it in this world ultimately. But we know that it is yet to come. We know that we weren't made ultimately and only for this world. We were made for heaven. So, Christmas is coming. We have high expectations. It's very likely that those expectations will not be met, and for some of us, it is perhaps worse than others. Christmas can be a very lonely time for some people. Maybe one of the things that God is doing through us as He moves our expectations to a more reasonable level is that as He trains us and as He corrects us and as He disciplines us, He can then use us, that we could perhaps meet the needs of some of our neighbors who aren't having that great of an experience of life. Maybe through us, God can show His love through us and through our actions. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.